secure, not save, and do not know Christ as your Saviour. This is our desire, that at this time you might get right with God, and we trust that the meetings will be helpful, pointing to our Saviour, Jesus Christ. So we're going to read from the Word of God, from Isaiah 59. If you have a Bible, if not, we'll read it publicly. Isaiah 59. Verse number 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot see him, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Just notice those words, your iniquities or your sins have separated between you and your God. Now we're going to read in the New Testament, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. Verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, one final verse from 1 Timothy, please. 1 Timothy in chapter number 2. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. And we know that God will bless his precious word. Now this evening I want to draw your attention to the great matter of the gospel, and the fact that it is between you and God. Between you and God. That's what this meeting is all about. If you have never heard the gospel before, or even if you are accustomed to hearing it, we want to just concentrate your mind that you understand that there is a problem between you and God. And you've noticed in the reading as you followed that in each reading we read of the little word between. It's a powerful word. And in Isaiah chapter 59 we discover this, that your sins have separated between you and God. Your sins have separated between you and God. In other words, there is a distance between you and God and between everyone who is born into this world because of sin. But then in Luke chapter 16, we have read of a tragic scene. And there, it is not now the distance between a sinner and God, but it is the distance between someone who is in hell and someone who is in heaven. Between heaven and hell, there is a great gulf, a great distance, and it's fixed. And we'll have to think about that. But praise God, in the third reading, we read of a mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Who is going to bridge the gap between a holy God and sinful man? Thank God there is one who stood into the gap, the Lord Jesus Christ. And between you and God tonight, between you and salvation, between you having a place in heaven, there stands Jesus Christ. And he said, one day, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man comes unto God the Father but by me. No other way to heaven but through him. We used to sing in Sunday school a little chorus. One way, God says, to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way. One way to reach those pearly mansions. Jesus is the only way. If someone has told you that there's some other way to heaven, can I tell you, on the authority of the Word of God, that's a lie you've been told. And we're living in a world of scams and lies. And I want to be truthful with you this evening and to draw your attention to this great problem, because God is able to save you. That's what Isaiah 59 tells us. His hand is not shortened that it cannot see it. Listen, there's not one sinner that is out of reach of the hand of God. I care not how low that you have sunk, or how high you think you have risen in society. For some people, God needs to lift them up out of the pit of sin. For others, God must bring them down from their seat of pride. But one thing is this, God is able to reach everyone. However, there is a problem. Isaiah says this, your iniquities have separated you from God. And the outcome is this, between you and God is a problem called sin. And it means this, that he has hid his face from you, that he will not hear. See, I was talking to someone today, and their idea of God was this, that God is there. Oh, they had no doubt about that. But he's really only there for when they get into difficulty or trouble. And when things go wrong and you get a bad diagnosis at the doctor, or you lose your job, all these terrible things, then you look for God. And you wave him in. You say, come on in now, I need your help. But you see, what I tried to explain to that person is that that God does not exist. You cannot come to God on your terms, because you, by nature, are at a distance from God. You see, understand it like this. God is holy. Here he is. Absolutely righteous. He is true. He is light. He is love. All the descriptions of God's character. And here is you and I, in our natural state, born into this world, and we are sinful. We are sinners by nature and by practice. And the reason that we sin and we disobey God is because we are sinners. It's not that we're sinners because we sin. No, it's like the apple tree that brings forth apples. Why does it do it? Because it's an apple tree. And why do I sin? Because I'm a sinner. And I'm related to a man called Adam. And through that one man, sin entered into the world. And if you want the evidence of sin, it's death. And if you want the effects of sin, it's death has passed upon all men. So you can see globally the effect of sin. It is the sentence of death upon all humanity, and every one of us is dying. And you know, we're not in this world too long. And yet the sad thing is, the majority of people that I meet around Bicester, they're living their lives as though they were here to stay. Oh, my friend, that you would get a look at the distance you are from God in your sins. And there's no difference. All have sinned. In your sins, you are at a distance from God. And let me tell you, you cannot bring yourself 1 millimeter closer to God. Praying can't bring you closer. No. Church cannot bring you closer. I can't bring you closer to God. There's no pastor or preacher. The priest cannot bring you closer to God. Why could he? Because he's a sinner himself. He's at a distance. Everyone's at a distance. We're all the same. It's God's universal verdict upon the world. There is no difference. You say, I'm educated. There's no difference. You say, I've success. Look at my bank account. No difference, my friend. Sin renders us just all the same. I'm sure I told the illustration here before of our own children going one day to a play park, and you know they were wanting to go on these rides, and they paid the money and they went up and stood, and they had to be measured to be the right height. And I remember Tom, he was tall, and he exceeded the height, and then he went, but you know, our daughter, she just wasn't so tall. And she measured up against the ruler. I could see that she was not going to just meet the standard. And you know, I watched her. Do you know what she did? She went up on her tiptoes. She still wasn't tall enough. The man shook his head. He said, sorry, dear. It's not safe. You cannot come in. You see, she had fallen short of the standard. Now, the thing is, she was able to grow a bit and come back the next year and she'd be... You know, it's so like people today, especially religious people, who try to stand on their tiptoes and somehow think that they can attain to God's standard themselves and lift themselves up. Listen, if you only knew how far short you fell, you would realize tonight that you're absolutely hopeless and helpless. See, as long as you look at yourself, you'll see some shred of goodness. But once you look at God, my, in his holiness, in his majesty, in his power, as the creator of all things, the heavens declare the glory of God. We'll get a sight of the glory of God tonight, and you'll realize how small that we all are. You know, I love that picture in the Bible that it gives us of God as the potter. And we are the clay. Little hymn, it says, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, and I am the clay. See, that's all we are. He has made us, and we're vessels that are marred and cracked. And you know, because he is the potter, he could have easily just broken the vessel and started again. You know what he wants to do tonight? He wants to save you. Though you're at a distance in your sins, and I was too, he wants to bring you to him. He wants to bring you in. In fact, it's the great invitation of the gospel to come unto me. But you know, one of the reasons that we stress this each night is because, dear friend, at a distance from God, you're in desperate danger. And it amazes me how people live their lives and don't realize the danger that they're in, only that I did it myself for nearly 20 years. And they gamble and they live as if there was no God. And yet all around them is the evidence of what I've said, sin and death on every hand. And they never stop to think of this great question above my head, where will you spend eternity? turnip. And in Luke 16, we're given a window into eternity. There's three men. Abraham, the rich man, poor man, Lazarus. And they all have this in common. They all died, went into eternity. Dear friend, tonight, do you ever think that there's going to come a time when you will leave time and go into eternity? For some of us, naturally speaking, it's not far away. You know, I was just scrolling through my phone the other day. You say you have little to do if that's what you were doing, looking through my calendar. And you know, out of interest, I thought, I wonder how far this calendar on Google actually goes. And I started scrolling through it, and I got to 2066. Stop. Thought to myself, likelihood is the Lord Jesus will have come back, or I'll be in eternity. Never see it. Truth is, for most of us 50 years from now, we'll all be in one of two places. Now men, we want to be honest with you tonight. Get a hold of reality, please would you. We're living in a world that is obsessed with virtual reality and imagination. And there's people tonight would rather sit at home with their Xbox than think of their eternal welfare of their soul. And yet in a moment, if the pulse on your arm was to stop, you would be in eternity. And the question is where? Where will you spend eternity? I was having meetings last year in Ballymoney. And I'll never forget it. My wife and I coming back from my parents' house. A car at the side of the road. A lorry. Smoke. We were the first people in the accident. If we'd been 30 seconds later, it might have been us. My wife went over to see if she could offer first aid. I phoned the emergency services. I went over to the car. My wife said to me, it's too late. You know, the shocking thing is this. Person in the car was the same age as myself, I found out later. But what struck me that night as I stood there in the dark was that there was a man who could no longer hear the voice of the preacher. Why? Because his soul was in eternity. And I wondered where. No longer was there someone that I could give an invitation to gospel meetings to. No longer was there someone that I could say, would you like a gospel tract? Why? Because he was in eternity. And he was in one of two places, according to Luke 16, either heaven or hell. You see, my friend, Jesus said in John chapter 8, if you die in your sins, where I go, you cannot come. And I've no doubt where Jesus Christ is tonight is in heaven. But if you die at a distance from God in your sins, then it's to be in this awful place called hell. There are a number of details that we're given about it, but one that I want to highlight tonight is this, that between heaven and hell there is a great gulf fixed, and you cannot go from hell to heaven. It's fixed. Once you land in that place, your eternal destiny is absolutely settled forever and forever and forever. On one hand, I'm glad that you can't go from hell to heaven because it also means you can't go from heaven to hell. I'm thankful that when you're saved, you're eternally saved and secure. There's no way that you can ever perish if you're saved. But equally, there's no way you can ever be in heaven if you die and you're lost. And you know, if you read the detail of this passage, you'll discover that the man who landed there was a man who grew up with a Bible in his home. He said of his brothers, they have Moses and the prophets. They have a Bible sitting on their shelf, but my friend, he perished. He never thought that it would be him. No one ever does. But my friend, if you die the way you are, could I say kindly, my friend, if you died this night without Christ, that's where you would be. We have to be faithful and warn you. And yet, I want to tell you that there's no reason for anyone to be there. None whatsoever. Because God has done everything that he might save you from his wrath and from that awful place that was designed for the devil and his angels. That's why we're telling you every night that God loves you. Oh, my friend, we're telling you the greatest news that you could ever hear, how that you can be saved from perishing. We're telling you how you can be saved from that terrible place where there's no hope of heaven. We're telling you how you can be sure of heaven when life is over. What else gives a person assurance but the Word of God and the Son of God, who loved me and who gave himself for me? Remember one day in the center of London, a man took a Bible. I said to him, "Sir, why have you taken a Bible?" He said, "Well," he says, "my marriage has failed. My business has failed." He says, "I've got bad news about my health." He says, "What else can give me hope?" Well, I'm thankful for this book. Where would we be without it tonight? That tells me that at the end of life, I can be absolutely sure of heaven as my home and heaven as my fatherland. All because the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world and went to Calvary's cross. And though there was a distance between me and God, listen, there's one mediator between God and man. It's a man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Can we bring you again tonight to the place which is called Calvary? Listen to what Luke says. "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him." You know, if I'd been a historian writing that, I would have written, "There they crucified them," because there was three. But you see what God is doing? He's drawing our attention to him. "There they crucified him," because that's what mattered. God is saying he is the mediator. He is the person that stands between a holy God and a guilty sinner. He is the person who bridges the gap. He is the person that you need to trust. He is the person who can bring you back to God. Oh, thank God, as a little chorus says, there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open that all may go in. At Calvary's cross, it's where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Come to the mediator, the one who goes between you and God. That's who you need to trust, because he suffered for you and he bled and died. You see, this verse tells me of the cross. It tells me of the place, the person, but it tells me of the price, because he gave himself a ransom for all. And a ransom is a price that must be paid to set a person free. And you see, you're at a distance. You're helpless, hopeless. But because of that price that was paid, the moment that you trust Jesus Christ, you're brought nigh to God. The Bible calls it reconciliation. You're made righteous by God. The Bible calls it justification. And I like the old word salvation. That means that you have nothing to fear of God. Why? Because you're safe in Christ. Safe in Christ. Are you saved tonight? Could I ask you? Is the distance still there? Are you still at a distance from God? Listen, get your eye to the mediator, the man Christ Jesus. Oh, thank God he is a real man. No other man like the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless, perfect man. They said, "Never man spake like this man." They said, "What manner of man is this?" Why? Because he was a man like no other. No mortal could with him compare among the sons of men. And you know, when it comes to heaven, there'll never be a person that is in heaven, but they will be there because of this man. You know, I've often wondered about the people that I'll meet in heaven. I was thinking the other day it would be interesting to meet Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And it will be interesting to meet Daniel, some of our favorite Bible characters. But you know, every person who sees it is looking forward to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know why? Do you know why we're looking forward to seeing him? Not just curiosity, not to see what he looks like, no. We're looking forward to seeing him so that we can thank him personally. So he can fall at his feet, the story repeat on the lover of sinners, and thank him that he ever was the mediator, that he ever took my place upon the cross, and he made salvation possible for me. I wonder, have you ever said in your heart, thank God for his son? Has there ever been a time in your life when you bowed and you trusted Jesus Christ as Savior? Well, remember these three verses tonight. The distance between a sinner and God, your sins have separated between you and God. The distance between heaven and hell, a great gulf fixed, don't make the mistake, please, of dying in your sins. Oh no, remember this, the bridge between a holy God and guilty men is the mediator, Jesus Christ, and his precious blood. Trust him and you will be saved, not only for time, but for eternity. May God bless this word.